So you think our head's up our butt? Well, we've got news for you. We actually suffer from rectal cranial inversion. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
I'm too drained.
And now 10 o'clock here on Z Tickets. This is Occupy T-Box. I'm Jake Kemp. He is the Tickets Elias Sports Bureau, David Newberry. And we are done.
I had a worst night ever. Did you guys hear that I locked my keys in my car last night after I had to drive to Fox to that high school show, which didn't happen? I got drove all the way there for them to cancel the show literally as I walk in the door.
Was it because the game ended early enough? Yeah,
right, and was preempted by it. But there was a chance that I was going to have to go out there for 10 minutes.
He had charted Southwick's last six games and everything.
Killer's like, they cannot. He's like, you have to come out here because there's a chance that Fox will not send it to network before, you know, until after 11 o'clock. And if so, we need you here to talk.
Who are the ad wizards that came up with
that? In the car.
You're zinging.
Dude, I was there. I was sitting at Fox Sports last night till 2:30 in the morning.
Did you get a locksmith to come out?
Finally showed up.
I can't be honest with you that I wouldn't have gone the kid in the SOC Punk just kick out a window and just hop in and just drive home with no window.
I was trying to get an extension cord out of the janitorial closet and go to the staircase.
Corbin Smith can't pick
no
can't
funeral.
Jimmy.
Carl,
he strikes me as a guy well versed in criminal.
He seems like the kind of guy that would have a Slim Jim in his trunk.
Always over,
I got this.
Over, prepared for every situation.
Well, he's got a law degree. Come on.
Yeah.
Jimmy a lock.
So did you guys hear about the guy that bet $250 on the Cardinals to win the World Series on September 12th?
No.
Or was that a day before?
It was September 12th was like the day before they were mathematically or could be mathematically eliminated. He got 999-1 odds.
Oh my God.
So he cashed in $250,000. He's an unidentified bettor out of MGM Grand. So, are you kidding me?
He's in Argentina right now.
Dude, he's got to be someone that just takes like extreme long shots at the end of the season. He finally
he's not
hit
a
one.
Cards fan.
Yeah, I mean, who does that? Unless you're the drunkest person on earth in Vegas is that weekend. And
I got this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna win.
So,
GLR baby, GLR.
So what are you guys going to do this morning?
Probably a lot of Cowboys pregame. We're going to look at the Cowboys. Stars.
Preview Tebow's second start.
Yeah. There's a lot of NFL talk.
What does that mean? You're going to look at the Stars.
We're going to look at them.
You're just going to...
They've gone largely undetected on this show for too long, and it's time to shift our focus.
Now could that they have Conan O'Brien behind the bench.
Yeah.
Dude, I think he looks like Jason Garrett. I think that guy is, you put it, when he has a hat on, like any of his practice interviews, he looks a lot younger.
He
Garrett.
Looks like a guy I want to take lunch money from. That's all I know.
He looks like a guy you could take lunch money from.
Yeah.
Could you guys name two stars right now?
Dude, I'm the producer for the Stars pre and post.
Ribeiro.
I know, I'm not talking to you.
Oh, okay, I was about to say.
There you go.
There's two.
And they have a lot of different faces.
Kari Lehtinen, that's three.
Let's not.
I'm a hockey expert.
I like Studley Wonderbaum.
That's his name?
No, that's Razor's nickname.
Oh, Studley Wonderbaum? What's wrong with your mic?
Seriously. I don't know.
That mic sucks. Really? We've had problems with that mic in the past.
He's had a rough week.
I blacked out last night. What happened?
No, you didn't.
I wish I would have.
Was that before or after the press conference?
The Dave Lane press conference?
Yeah, what channel?
And who was it with? Do you even know?
They said Channel 11, although they didn't have a mic flag and I didn't see a truck, so they may have just been two Mexicans with a camera.
It was the TC and Jake of Channel 11 doing their video podcast.
Is that the first press conference you've given since the rat that ate the baby or whatever?
Yes.
That's still my favorite rant bit of all time.
God, who remembers that? Except for Jake.
Man,
I remember it because TC has all the shows. He plays the audio.
TC is an avid rant archivist.
They have the rant streaming 24/7 on loop at home.
All right, well.
I don't know what we're going to do. We have 3 hours to kill. Did you know
what? Are we going to one again?
Yes. You could play the Dick Hicks CD twice.
Oh my God, I bet. I want to murder everybody.
Instead of playing the Dick Hicks CD twice, I think we should play each segment twice, back to back.
Just really let it sink in?
Right.
Please.
Just play the first segment twice,
then
go
to
break, then play the second segment twice.
Why are we going to one again?
I don't know.
SMU.
All right. Fine.
Yep. You need 3 hours.
Make sure you read this memo.
Orphanage therapy.
You react to that news.
That's why I'm not saying anything. Expect a lot of dead air. Yeah, we got the language memo again. Yeah,
we've already.
You guys covered this today?
No, we haven't covered it.
No, I don't. Violated every point on there.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when I look at this memo telling us what we can and can't say, they might as well just cancel our show. Because
what about hints?
90% of our vernacular.
3 hours of hints.
Even hints.
90% of our vernacular is comprised of these items that are now banned.
Yeah.
It's obviously not meant for the orphanage audience.
Right. Even hints devolves into double entendre.
Yeah.
There's no safe content on the orphanage.
My favorite orphanage is in studio without the ambient car dealership sounds behind. So that whenever you have to search for a word other than the Z word, it's just 3 or 4 seconds of absolute. Yeah.
That.
And not someone looking at a
cars,
overpaying for an S series or whatever.
Cars whizzing by on the tollway. Oh, well. Well, I guess we'll get into everything that's happened up to this point next.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth. Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket salutes the Texas Rangers on another great season, another AL pennant and World Series appearance, but at the end, another kick in the baseballs.
Oh. We just didn't get it done. We got beat by a good club.
They just didn't have enough. They just did not have enough tonight.
You know, St. Louis didn't necessarily hit the ball very well, but they still scored 6 runs.
That's how it works, man. 2 teams pour it out on the field, and 1 team leaves with a trophy.
Yeah, Rangers lose Game 7. We're getting tired of saying that's the way baseball go, but that's the way baseball go. At least it was a great World Series. Our guys will have HSOs and our Red Shoot Ranger team all off-season long. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Big Daddy's Liquor Stores, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and the station that doesn't believe there's no crying in baseball. Because there is. Jeez. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Heard also on 99.5 HD2.
Get a sense of the Rangers' direction this season with TomTom Grieve and Bad Radio. Every Wednesday at 1:35. Brought to you by LP SmartSide Trim and Siding, TBRC Roofing, and Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
I look alive, bitches. It's showtime.
Did you hear how you were born? 2 boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
Damn it. It's 10:15 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Orphanage with the Rangers postmortem. I'm Dave. He's Danny.
What's up?
And we're here for 3 hours today.
Awesome.
Yep. Let me see if this...
As if 2 hours weren't enough. There's
another... These headphones are better.
Extra hour of this wonderful programming. And then we'll hand it off to a pre-recorded show on cars and racing. And then we've got SMU football ball.
Check. Oh, my God.
Is that better?
No.
What's going on?
These are horrible.
Which ones are those?
I don't know.
Can you hear out of both ears, though?
I think that the headphone jack itself is screwed up. But no one cares about that.
Nope. Those are first World Series problems.
No. Those are second World Series problems.
Mm. So how are you doing today?
You know, I guess I'm kind of in denial. I just don't know how to feel. I'm not heartbroken like I thought I would be.
Right.
But I just I don't have very much will to live.
Well, why would that be any different than any other day, though?
That's true.
I think that, you know, going into last night, and I've tried to be as optimistic as possible during the show yesterday.
I put on a smiley face all day yesterday.
It took me until about 5:30 to shake the sports hangover from Game 6 because I'd felt like the Rangers were good enough and quite possibly better than the Cardinals.
I still think they are.
Just because they were able to go to a Game 7. They put themselves in a position by going up 3-2 that they had the luxury of playing two elimination games. Now, only one of them involved themselves being the victim of elimination. And I had myself talked into the idea that Game 7, anything can happen. Maybe they got it out of their system the night before. The avoidance of back-to-back losses for the better part of a month or two months. And just thought that maybe the breaks would fall their way, that they would get some... that's what it's all about when you get to a World Series. It's such a small sample size of, you know, seven games that usually the team that gets the most breaks and takes advantage of them is the team that wins, unless there's a clear, decided advantage as far as talent goes, which I really didn't see between these two teams. I thought these teams were very closely matched. And essentially having any hope in last night for the Rangers to win, that's essentially all that it was hope. And you can't lose that. But as I was walking to my car to go meet you, to go watch the game, I asked myself the question, if I had to put down a bet right now, if I was forced to make a, you know, substantial financial investment into the outcome of the World Series, and I had to be honest with myself, I would have picked the Cardinals to win last night. And that is not me being a bad Ranger fan, but that's me being a realistic observer of baseball. There's a reason why there is baseball history. There's a reason why statistics are statistics, and that's why we use them and talk about them and reflect on them. The odds are the odds, and the odds that the Rangers were going to win a Game 7 were decidedly stacked against them, and it didn't happen. And we're sad. It sucks. I think that most of my angst was put out there after Game 6 and fighting through the ebbs and flow, the ebb and flows and the ups and downs of that game. You know, my heart and my soul were just... I felt like a beaten man all day yesterday because of Game 6. That was the killer. And I heard Jake Z and Newberry talking about, you know, what this team needs to do to move forward, and I'm sure that we can get into a lot of that maybe later on in the show. But rather than lamenting on decisions that were made in Game 6, and granted, yes, there were some very questionable things that from the managerial side, not just Wash, but coaching staff as well, that you can call into question, but they handed the ball to their closer in the ninth inning with a two-run lead. I don't know what else you can ask for. And whatever got them, whatever decision-making got them there, it goes out the window at that point because you're in the World Series with a premier closer, rookie of the year, an all-star, and you hand the ball to him, you expect him to get the job done. And he didn't. Now, for whatever reason, you know, you want to talk about Nelly Cruz's positioning in the outfield, sure, but Neftali Feliz is supposed to get you three outs in any way possible, and he didn't do it. Now, after that, yes, there were some things that were decided that you can call into question. But it didn't work out. And they lose by one run in Game 6. St. Louis forces a Game 7. And I'm telling you, you cannot go into a Game 7 against Chris Carpenter and put 26-year-old Matt Harrison on the mound and expect a win. Bottom line, I don't care if Carpenter pitched on 3 days rest. I don't care what his... He has one game where he's done that before and he didn't do well. Well, that game was not Game 7 of the World Series. And that guy dug deep. He found it. He is an ace. He's a stud. And he is what the Rangers do not have. And that's what they needed last night. They needed a horse. They needed a stud, a number one starter. This team does not have an ace. It does not have a number one starter. It's got a lot of twos and threes. And can you win a World Series with that? Yeah, you can. But I don't think you can win a Game 7 when you're going up against a stud. And you can say what you want about how this team did the unthinkable without Cliff Lee. How they went and got a great third baseman to shore up that corner. And that dude is amazing. I love Beltre. He is a massive reason why they got to where they were yesterday. But without a guy to go toe-to-toe in a heavyweight fight, without an ace, without a Cliff Lee, without a CC Sabathia, without a Chris Carpenter, you're going to lose a Game 7. That's the bottom line. And you want to talk about moving forward, that's the need that needs to be addressed, among many others. But there is not a number one, there's not an ace on this team right now. I don't care what C.J. Wilson thinks about himself. I don't care about the start that Derek Holland had in the World Series. There's not an ace on this team, and you're not going to win a World Series without one. Not a Game 7 when you're going against somebody else's.
No, and I think Wash, as much as I love Wash and as much as I appreciate his feel for the game, I don't think he necessarily changed the way he manages to suit the postseason. I think he managed in the postseason. I mean, certainly you're quicker to make moves with your bullpen, mm-hmm. as we saw. But I don't think that he went against his common judgment to go balls out to win a Game 7. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously, Carpenter is an ace.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knew that he was going to go on 3 days rest. It doesn't matter that he tanked the last time he did or that he's hardly ever done it before. That's what was going to happen. And yet Wash was stubborn in saying, nope, it's Matt's time. It's Matt's turn in the rotation, and I've got my faith in Matt. And God bless him for having faith in his players, but at some point, don't you have to take a step back and say, what is going to give us the best chance to win the game? Would it have been to start CJ? Would it have been to not use Holland last night and go ahead and use Holland to start Game 7?
Well, Wash obviously threw the kitchen sink at him in Game 6. And I don't fault him for that, because you can't worry about a Game 7 when you have a lead, when you're up, when your team scratches and your offense scratches and fights to give you a lead back that you've lost 4 times, 5 times. You can't keep Holland in reserve in Game 6 if you think that he's your best option to win that game. He did everything he could. Did he make mistakes? Of course he did. In retrospect, you can look back at numerous things that he did that were questionable. But I don't blame one man. I don't blame Wash for this. And I, as the promo says, I'm getting sick of that's the way baseball go. But I mean, I can't look at one thing and point at that and go, that was the definable moment of where you lost this, and lay it at his feet. I can't find that moment. It was a collaborative effort. They ran into a very hot team as the playoffs, as the season ended and the playoffs began and crescendoed into last night. The Cardinals got hotter and hotter and hotter, and the Rangers got cold.
Yeah, the key to their success in the division series and the ALCS was their bullpen, and their downfall in the World Series was their bullpen.
Exactly.
And you've got to chalk that up to not only a Cardinals team getting hot, but a Rangers bullpen getting tired.
Yeah. A lot of innings pitched, man. Cardinals had the same... They had the same problem, though. You know, they pitched damn near as many or if not more innings than the Rangers did in the playoffs. But what it boiled down to, I think, was the things that we were concerned with in the beginning. National League ball, home field advantage, La Russa being a more seasoned veteran manager. People forget Wash is young at this. This is... Yeah, you know, he's a baseball lifer, but he's only been managing for a few years, and there's growing pains that are involved. But those are the things that killed us, you know, the fact that they had an ace. I think that plays huge into this. Chris Carpenter is a badass, and
a jerk.
I disagree with you. I've seen several interviews with that guy, and he just seems nothing but a very pleasant, nice, honest, genuine person. That's what I've... You know, been able to
well,
get
his,
out of.
I guess I'm referring to his on-field persona. I appreciate that he's intense and a competitor, but he just comes off as an a-hole.
Well, he's the enemy. You know, if there's a number of guys on this pitching staff, CJ, Derek Holland, if they were on somebody else's team, if they were on the other side and you're watching the antics that they're pulling during the World Series, you're hating their guts 10 times worse than you are Carpenter's.
Right. Well, and I was thinking about that, and maybe we can talk about this on the other side.
Let's do that.
I was thinking about, I guess, the perception of the Ranger team versus the perception of the Cardinals team, and... Who would you want on your team? Who would they want on their team? And what is the lasting legacy of this Ranger team? So let's kick that around next.
It's a spooky stick and puck matchup between the Stars and the Devils tonight. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drops at 7. Brought to you by Structured Foundation Repairs, Q Chevrolet, Low T Center, Advent Air Conditioning, and also by American Airlines, Ford, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It's 10:38 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is the Orphanage, Dave and Danny with you until 1 o'clock today.
Yay.
This is the Texas Rangers wake this morning. I mean, it's hard to goof off and be funny as if we ever are, but...
We have our moments on occasion,
no.
But...
It's hard when we have witnessed what we've all witnessed in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, it's definitely a time for a little reverence, a little reflection, so, deep thought. So you teased the legacy that the 2011 Texas Rangers are going to leave, the imprint that they're going to leave on the baseball minds and kind of the image that will last.
Right.
In the minds of people that love the game of baseball, that watch this, that are into this.
Yeah, not just around here, but
right.
In baseball lore. And, you know, but before we get totally into that, I just wanted to talk about Carpenter. And, you know, last year it was over and done so quick against the Giants that you didn't really have time to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
You knew they were good, and you knew that
they had hot pitching.
That you knew that Lincecum looked like a little nerdling, and you knew that Brian Wilson was a freak.
But you didn't know that Matt Cain could pitch.
Right. You know, so they had guys that you knew of going in that you may have had a preconceived dislike for, but you didn't have time to really hate them. Now that we've gone through a seven-game series and looking at that Cardinal team for seven full games plus extras, there are really only a handful of guys on that team that I could say I was happy that they won.
Okay.
Pujols, obviously, because he's a class guy and he's their franchise. I think David Freese is a good kid. I'd like to have him on my team. And Mott, their closer, mm-hmm. I think he's a class act. Other than that, I pretty much can't stand that team.
Not a big Berkman fan, are you?
Hate Berkman.
Furcal? You don't like Furcal?
Furcal is a douche.
Alan Craig? Don't like him?
He's so smarmy. Granted, he's good. And we were talking last night that if the Rangers had pulled off the improbable last night, one of the questions La Russa probably would have been facing is, why didn't you get Craig more at-bats?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, don't like Craig. Obviously don't like Carpenter. Holiday. I mean, they are an annoying bunch of guys. And thinking about the flip side of that and thinking about our Rangers, obviously somebody from a neutral or St. Louis perspective is going to think CJ's a moron. They're probably not going to like Holland, as you mentioned, just because he tries too hard to be goofy.
Yeah. 8 1/3, 2-hit shutout baseball does a lot to compensate for goofiness, though.
Right.
Because if you can back up being a dork with really good performance, it does, I think it does garner you an amount of respect.
But really, and I think
I hear what you're saying.
I think the only really divisive guys on this team are CJ and Ian Kinsler. I think those are the only guys that are flat out hateable by other baseball observers. I think we have a really likable team.
I think so. It's hard to hate somebody like Josh Hamilton or Craig Gentry. And you know, Napoli kind of became the lovable dullard,
right,
of the playoffs. Yeah, I can't really think of anybody that you who doesn't love Craig Gentry. He's good.
who has an opinion on Craig Gentry? But you know what I'm saying. It's unfortunate that this team now is seen as the Buffalo Bills of baseball. That's already what everybody's saying.
Who's saying that? I have not heard that once.
It's in Kalishaw's column. I heard it on MLB Network last night.
I think looking back on the thing is when you think about the Red Sox in 1986, and I've heard comparisons. There's one play that is the kind of the iconoclast of that whole experience, and that is obviously the Bill Buckner error at first base. I don't think that people are going to look at the 2010 or 2011 Rangers as choke artists or as World Series fodder. I think the focus is going to be on the teams that won and the magnificent momentum and runs that they had last year with the Giants because of their starting pitching. And this year with the Cardinals as, God, just scrapping and doing everything they possibly could do to win. And I hate that label, that tag, Team of Destiny. I know it's been said a lot, and I've used it a lot. But, man, when a team is on a roll like that, there's very little you can do, especially when you're not quite equipped. I think the Rangers had some missing pieces in personnel. We can talk about that. I want to talk about at some point today. I want to talk about they need an everyday first baseman. Michael Young sucks as an infielder. He has no position on this team outside of DH or backup utility man. He does not need to be in the field ever on a consistent basis.
Yeah, they were definitely hurt by not only Young, but Napoli's first base defense in this series.
Yes, that's why when Mitch Moreland was in the games, they won. A huge part of that. Just basically on the trust of the other infielders to throw a ball, to take a chance, and know that he's gonna scoop it. Michael Young's going to drop it and bumble around like a meathead. You want to get angry about something, get angry at that. I understand he's your franchise and he's the face, but he's a hack. He's a terrible infielder.
Right. There's a reason you got Beltre.
Exactly.
He didn't get better moving positions.
You need an ace. I truly believe you need a bona fide number one starting pitcher for this team. So, yeah, the Rangers were ill-equipped. They didn't have enough. Whereas I think the Cardinals were just I think they had better pieces in place.
And it's easy to ignore destiny when, mm-hmm. when you're in the midst of it. But now in hindsight, and same as last year, we're absorbed in the Rangers story. And last year, rising from the ashes of bankruptcy, making the playoffs, winning their first playoff series in the history, then beating the Yankees, then getting to the World Series. We thought the Rangers were the team of destiny.
Yeah.
Come to find out it was the Giants. We weren't paying attention to their story, and their story ended up being richer than the Rangers, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
And then the same thing this year.
I know. And I'm telling you, I said this yesterday, if you were an author and you wanted to write the book on the team of 2010 or the team of 2011, you're going to have equal amounts of material to write about either one. You could have written a fantastic book on the Rangers last year had they won the World Series, but they didn't. But the Giants did. Still, that's a great book. I'll read that.
They made a TV series out of it.
Yeah.
And then
this year,
coming back with the Cardinals on the brink of elimination, coming back and beating out the Braves at the very end of the season, getting all the way to the World Series as a wild card, wondering if it's Pujols' last season in a Cardinals uniform, TLR, all that crap. And then the amazing mojo of Game 6.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, they wrote a better story than the Rangers.
And when they look, the parallel that I was trying to make to the Red Sox, when they look back at this series, I don't think it's going to be about how the Rangers tinkled it away or how the Rangers lost the World Series. That's not the story. The story is the story of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it will be. But when you are down to your last strike twice,
mm-hmm.
That can't be ignored. That's going to go down as one of the...
It's a big bullet point.
It's going to be... You can't call it a choke.
It's more,
but
though...
It's going to be one of the biggest faux pas in Major League World Series history.
It's a tough one to swallow, but I truly believe that it will be about the Cardinals' ability to scratch out runs and come back more than it will be about a defining singular moment that happened where the Rangers threw it away, because it was a collective effort.
From
manager to bullpen to errors.
You had three different pitchers on the mound for the two tying runs and then the winning run.
Yeah. So you can't just look at one event. There's no Bill Buckner in this series.
No.
Or in Game 6. But like I said, I think that in, as history plays out, it will be more about the Cardinals' ability to overcome, and that they were a team on a mission. And there is no other team in Major League Baseball, I think, that you could have put up against them that would have done better than the Rangers did.
All right, coming back, I want to throw a couple of historical numbers at you, just to put the picture in the frame, and then we're going to go to your phone calls at 214-787-1310, because I know that you guys have been sleeping on this and stewing over it, and you have hot sports opinions boiling out of your mouth right now. So we're going to go to the phones next on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
You've gone from acid rock to acid reflux. Welcome to the club, baby. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It's 10:58 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with you until 1 o'clock today.
The only radio station in town where you will hear Supergrass.
Yes. The only radio station that has the guts to play Supergrass.
Speaking of Supergrass.
What about it?
Nothing.
You have some?
Mm-mm. God, that'd be a horrible idea.
Right now?
Yes. Two hours left.
Yeah, we do have 2 hours left. Ordinarily, we're on 10 to noon. Just
rip up a vaporizer for the next 2 hours.
I know, bored to death really wants me to get a vaporizer. Makes me want to get a vaporizer.
Bored to death does?
Yeah. You watch that?
Yeah, it's great.
This season is hilarious.
Oh, wait, it's already started back up?
3 episodes in.
I had no idea. I am a loser.
You non-demand them or HBO Go them or whatever.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, so anyway, I promised some statistics before we go to the phones at 214-787-1310.
Hey.
These aren't going to make you happy, but I just want to put the picture in a frame a little bit.
Do it.
Of course, last night, and I think we all knew this, that the Rangers were trying to be the first team since the 79 We Are Family Pittsburgh Pirates to win a Game 7 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that still hasn't happened since 79. Obviously, Game 7s are a rare bird, but road wins in a Game 7 are even rarer. The St. Louis Cardinals won their 11th title. That is the second most to the 27 of the hated Yankees.
Correct.
To do so, the Cardinals became the fifth wild card team to win the World Series. You remember the others?
Oh, God. No. I won't even.
The 97 Marlins beat the Indians. The 02 Angels beat the Giants. The 03 Marlins beat the Yankees. And, of course, the 04 Red Sox beat those Cardinals.
Okay.
And the Cardinals became the 19th team to rally from a 3-2 deficit to win the World Series, the first since 02, when the also wild card Angels did it to beat the Giants. And on the Rangers side of it, the Rangers, since the division era began in 69, the Rangers are the sixth team to go to back-to-back World Series. And three of those won their second time around, and three of them lost their second time around. The Rangers joined the 78 Yankees and the 92 Braves as back-to-back losers.
Back-to-back losers?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, a lot of history was made, not any of it good from the Ranger perspective, but I don't know, what the hell. What do you want to talk about, P1s? 214-787-1310.
I don't have names, so let's punch you guys up. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say, this makes me hate the All-Star Game more than I ever imagined it would be possible to hate a stupid exhibition event. Because if they don't put so much, if not so much is on the line with that All-Star Game, we're playing at home for games 6 and 7 and 1 and 2.
Yeah, it sucks. Having the second best record in the American League and giving away home field advantage to a wild card team is not fair. And I commiserate with you because I hate it too, but I didn't care until it started affecting
right.
us.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of this time it counts or whatever the hell their campaign was.
It's stupid.
It's stupid.
Because you've got 95% of the guys on there that don't even have a freaking chance to make it to a World Series. So what do they care?
Right. And it's not like the managers are going to manage any harder. The players are going to play any harder because they're like, oh, our league is going to get home field if we win.
Yeah.
No, no one cares. But the only thing that you can file away and say, well, no big deal. It's kind of poetic justice to the fact that Wash was the manager and CJ was the pitcher of record in losing that All-Star game.
Wash put him in, right?
Yep.
Hi, you're on the ticket. Hello.
Denny.
Yes.
I agree with you on all points that you made a little while ago. They do need a true ace and a Damon-like pinch hitter come off the bench.
Yeah.
They have that right now. And it's funny you brought up Buckner because, you know, once I saw Oliver on the mound in Game 6, I just knew that we blew the series. I mean, I had a bad feeling there. Looking back, I wonder if Wash just threw Oliver out there to be on the mound for the end of the game, you know, the time of celebration, just like McNamara did with Buckner in 86, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that... He had Gonzalez if he wanted to go lefty-lefty. Or stick with Nefty. You know, you got 7-8, and then the pitcher. They were out of bench players.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wash, for whatever reason, trusts Oliver more than he trusts Gonzalez. But that did make my stomach turn when you saw Oliver trotting out there.
He'd gotten people out in the playoffs, man.
I know.
He was really effective, especially, I mean, against, he's a left-handed specialist. And when he gets that sweeping slider to get guys, and he continually got guys to chase that. It just didn't work out for him the other night. I don't think Wash put him out there to, hey, here's a veteran.
Yeah.
I want him to be on the field when
we're
in the
World
Series.
Here's a nice pat on the back.
Yeah, I don't think Wash would make a move like that.
No.
I think he was making the best move that he thought he could make at the time to get that game over with. I don't think it was any tip of his hat to Ollie for whatever his, you know, indentured service to Major League Baseball. I don't think it had anything to do with that. But thank you for your call, nonetheless. Yeah, let's talk to you, friend. You're on the ticket.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Danny, I want to say thank you for putting a little perspective on the season as far as what we were allowed to experience with the Rangers. It may sound weird, but in my opinion, I went into the World Series thinking that the Rangers had overachieved and that that they had overcome some odds, some unfortunate situations. First of all, the St. Louis Cardinals, they put out the best team in baseball, who were loaded with number one starters from top to bottom. So I thought they were going to be the favorite team. I know a lot of people said the Rangers should win. It was their time to win, that type of thing.
Right.
When you go up against Philly and you did what you did to them, it just proves that you are a great team. Then I look at what the Rangers overcame as far as the injuries to that Josh was half a man, literally. Just swinging from his hip up, you know. And I respect his desire to be out there, and that home run was great. But when it's all said and done, before that, I think he was batting right around 200 or something like that, if not below.
Right.
And that really, really, it hammered the lineup. When you look at what St. Louis was able to send up in their 2, 3, 4, and 5 spot, you'd say intentionally walk Pujols, Freeze, and Fat Elvis. You want to walk all three of those guys. But then you load the bases, and here comes somebody else that's just going to knock one or two of them in.
Yep.
And the bullpen really let Texas down. And that's what everybody hung their hat on. Once those trades went through, everyone, all the professional, you know, speaking heads and pundits said, that's it, Texas is favored to win. And me kind of looking at it, I said, man, if your bullpen is what you're hanging your hat on, then what about your starters? I mean, if that's the case, then you're pitching by committee, and you really have no one that you can depend on in a crunch time.
And it truly does go against the grain of the philosophy that and the mindset that Nolan has tried to impede on this team with having your starters go 7-8 innings. Now you've got a kind of an escape plan or an emergency exit with everybody talking about how great the bullpen is. Hey, now our starters only have to go 5 innings because we've got, you know, Koji can come in for 6, then we got so and so for 7, and then Mike Adams for 8, and then Neffy can close it out. And it's almost like something went in reverse there. It's like because that was what was talked about so much into the playoffs about how great this bullpen was and how best bullpen in the majors. And now this is why the Rangers are going to win the World Series. But it kind of goes against what the whole philosophy of this team to get them to where they were. That's what made them what they are. And now, but we have this great bullpen, so our starters don't have to go as long. You can't tell me that doesn't creep into their mindset.
Yeah, I mean, that was it was kind of a product of what the starters threw out. I don't think it was a philosophy that played out. I think it was a reaction to the quality of starts that they were getting. And that goes back to the need for a true number one starter and the fact that, yeah, they were the first pitching staff with 5 guys to win 13 games, but were they that strong of a staff, or were they just a really good team that gave their starters the run support, and the starters were pressed by Nolan to go deep enough into games to get wins?
And it's going to take some time to build those calluses on those guys, because you're talking about Alexi Ogando and CJ Wilson, who are pretty new to this.
Yeah.
That's the most innings these guys have ever pitched. So you can't tell me that getting into the playoffs, the reason that their starts were being shortened was because of the workload that they'd shouldered throughout the season.
It does make it tough in the National League Park when you're having to play for one run.
Boy, I agree. I absolutely agree. And man, that's another thing that we can talk about next and take your phone calls is, I want to get back to that home field advantage thing, and I think that was a massive, massive element in the Rangers not winning. I think if the Rangers could have had home field advantage in this playoffs, I think that we would be in here celebrating this morning and hung over like you wouldn't even imagine. So let's talk about that next, and continue to load up the phones. Jason in Plano and Will in Frisco, we'll get to your calls next.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth. Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket salutes the Texas Rangers on another great season, another AL pennant and World Series appearance, but at the end, another kick in the baseballs.
Oh. I mean, it's great. We've had awesome playoff baseball in this area, but you don't win at all. It kills you.
Once again, the Musers failed to deliver us a championship on the road, man.
It's not on us.
Well,
I was not pitching in the ninth inning last night. I didn't have a bat in my hand tonight with runners in scoring position.
You guys need to work on your Rangers in the offseason.
Yeah, Rangers lose game 7. We're getting tired of saying that's the way baseball go, but that's the way baseball go. At least it was a great World Series. Our guys will have HSOs and our Red Shoot Ranger team all off-season long. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Majestic Fine Wine and Spirits, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and the station that doesn't believe there's no crying in baseball. Because there is. Jeez. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
We're also on 99.5 HD2.
All right, so I wanted to get into some more deficiencies that I thought the Rangers faced in the World Series.
Stone Roses are back together, by the way.
I know, I heard that. Different drummer, though, right?
No, all 4 original members.
Cool, man. That's awesome news. But yes, we had a caller earlier that was kind of sharing my belief that having the All-Star game determine home field advantage in the World Series does blow, especially when your team's been a victim of it 2 years in a row. It's hard for an American League team to play, to give up games in an NL park. And it's really difficult to construct your roster to prepare for that. I really thought that had the Rangers had home field, I think it would have been a much easier path for them to win this thing. And that's a very, very generic, obvious point.
Right.
I realize that. But did you not feel that, man, we had no versatility as far as our late inning moves, as far as our bench bats? Our right-handed bats off the bench were horrible.
Yeah, when your go-to guy is Jorvit,
Esteban Hermann, you know, Craig Gentry. I mean, okay, but it just seemed like every move that La Russa made, it seemed like he just had a wealth of material off of his bench on these guys that could just come up and slap it. And our guys were just embarrassing. Our pinch hitting was dreadful.
Yep.
And that's just another, you know, another casualty of playing more games in the NL Park than you have at home.
Yeah, it forces your hand as a manager, and you know that it's an argument that will go on as long as the DH lives as to which style of ball is preferable. Obviously, the National League style is more pure. I happen to
think it's stupid.
Yeah, I happen to believe, and I guess it's because I grew up in an American League city, but I prefer the American League style of ball because I want to see offense and I want to see my pitcher stay in the game if he's pitching well and not have to hit for him because you've got men in scoring position and you're not sure if you're going to have another shot. I understand that it makes everything more cerebral.
National League is chess, American League's checkers. I get that. But I also like lengthening careers. And I think the DH does that. I like seeing, you know, guys like Big Poppy or whatever, or maybe, you know, if Lance Berkman came to the AL, guys that really can't play much in the outfield anymore, but they can, you know, achieve a little more longevity in their career by 3 or 4 years because of the DH. You get to keep some of your superstars around in the American League because of the DH. I like it for that reason, but that's a whole nother argument. But yes, I did feel like, we talked about being ill-equipped. I felt like the Rangers were ill-equipped at first base. I felt like they didn't have a number one starter or an ace, so to speak. And I felt like their bench was really, really lacking. You combine all those things together, and it's really hard to win when you're the American League team and you do not have home field advantage. Let's squeeze in a couple. Hi, Jason in Plano. You're on the ticket.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, one of the things that possible scenario is that, as far as first base is concerned, I think they addressed our need last year at third base defensively with Beltre.
No question.
And by saying that, to get Young out of the field, I make a run at Prince Fielder in my mind and go from that angle. And you tie down the first base position. New York's not making a run at a first baseman. Boston's not making a run at a first baseman. And what that does when you come time for the NL, Danny, is I think how much better would you feel coming off the bench with Young as your pinch hitter versus one of the other guys, you know?
Yeah, that was the tough thing, man, is you had to play. You want Young's lineup you want his bat in the lineup in the NL Park, but you're sacrificing a good amount of defensive ability at first base by having him in there.
Yeah, if Moreland was hitting anything in the series, it wouldn't have been a decision. Moreland would have been out there and Young would have been your bat off the bench, but they couldn't sacrifice the lack of offense that Moreland was going to give you to gain the defense that he was going to give you.
Yeah, and also, you know, two of the starts in the NL Park were by Jaime Garcia, who is a left-hander, and you're not gonna play Moreland again. You're not gonna start Moreland in the field against a left-hander, regardless whether you're in Arlington or St. Louis. So
I would
very smart.
I mean, and we can certainly start looking ahead here in a few segments. But man, if they could score Pujols or Fielder and completely shore up the infield, the outfield, the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are looking at a potential dynasty at that point.
Yeah. Newberry texted me earlier and said that he thinks that Mike Young needs to learn how to play left field, and that's his position in NL Parks. That way you do have his bat in the lineup if you do have a solid option at first base next year.
Yeah. And, you know, he's going to bitch about that.
Yeah, he will.
He'll bitch about having to learn another position. But we were talking about this a little bit earlier during one of the breaks, is that moving forward, Mike Young needs to get 90% of his at-bats during the regular season at DH.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to spot start around the infield.
Yeah, give guys days off.
But I don't have the splits. I don't have the breakdown of where he got his at bats this year. But I guarantee he was in the field 50% of the time, most of it at first base, and that's just not going to cut it.
No, it's not. Let's take a couple more here. Will in Frisco. Hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310.
Hey guys, you know I'm enamored with the Rangers as everyone else is, and I don't want to, you know, come on here and scorch the earth with these guys.
But right.
Let's face it, Danny, we've all played sports before, and it comes down to, if the God forbid, if the Cowboys blew a five, how can I put this, blew the lead five times in a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
we would absolutely, nobody would give them the time of day. I mean, they would absolutely scorch them. And I haven't really heard anybody talk about Game 6. I was out of town amongst all Cardinal fans on business. I'm like you. I'm so hungover about two nights ago. It's just amazing to me. I'm just dumbfounded. But to give it up like that, I mean, you know, and I know that everybody goes, well, Carpenter's an ace and all that, blah, blah, blah. Look over the last 2 years who we've mowed down as far as aces go. You know, I mean, you know, you go through the likes of, and it gets you tired here thinking about it, all the great pitching at Tampa. Then we got New York, and then this year's Detroit and Verlander. And to come to this point, and we're sitting here actually thinking, well, you know, they had Carpenter, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Verlander any day of the week over Carpenter.
Sure.
I would take that pitching staff at Tampa over anything the Cardinals have. And that's what gives me super tired head or just beat down, thinking about what we've mowed through over the last 2 years, only to come to Game 6, God forbid, not before last, and just basically throw it away. And I mean, I don't want to throw the guys under the bus, but you know that's basically what it came down to. It was just mind-boggling to me.
Well, the difference is yes, we have mowed down Verlander and David Price. The difference is we've done that with American League Baseball. I believe that is a big element in the Rangers' success against good pitching. Is we've had our full offensive lineup to face those guys.
Right.
You know, it's really hard to, you know, Lincecum did it to us last year and Carpenter did it to us this year. You don't have your full arsenal, then it's really tough. I think with National League having home field in the World Series advantage, I don't care who you are.
And I don't think the Cowboys comparison is accurate or fair. Because the Cowboys are the front runner. They're America's team. They are the lead dog in this city. Then they have the history and they have the championships in their back pocket. The Rangers, much like the Mavericks, are the underdog and they're our darlings and they're the can do guys that we want to get behind and we want to love.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are programmed to want to cut the legs out from under the Cowboys. We're programmed to hit the panic button when it comes to the Cowboys. But when it comes to the Mavericks and the Rangers, we want to coddle them and we want to build them up and push them ahead.
There are lovable underdog losers. And they have been for a long time until, you know, the Mavericks last year and the Rangers the last couple of years. So, yeah, they do get a little bit of, I'm going to say a free pass, but
a lot of slack.
A lot indeed. Of slack,
yeah.
Right.
That Game 6, like you were trying to say earlier, you believe that people will look back on this series as the Cardinals were a team of destiny who could not be stopped and who won this World Series, and not that the Rangers
blew
are
it.
Choke artists,
yeah.
And blew it with the last strike twice in Game 6. it remains to be seen how history will look back on this World Series. But yes, we are giving the Rangers a lot of slack because we love them.
And the people that will look at that, at Game 6, as a collection and comedy of managerial errors and a complete, utter, total choke job by the bullpen, to have that perspective, it has to come from a point of anger. You have to be pissed. You have to hold on to that anger. And a lot of people will do that. That's what gets them through it. I'm just choosing not to. I'm choosing not to be angry at this thing. It would be very easy to do, and I think that's kind of the easy way out. But I don't know. That's just me personally. I'm choosing not to hold on to whatever problem that I have with Game 6. I'm just choosing not to come from that standpoint.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to look at it that way because it doesn't do me any good.
Yeah, Game 6, there were 5 combined errors. It was not the cleanest game in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the 9th, 10th, and 11th, those weren't necessarily mistakes. Those were just pitches that were hit.
Yeah.
That was good hitting on the part of the Cardinals. I don't think, and I'd have to go back and look at the pitch by pitch, but I can't say that any of those were mistake pitches. Maybe Lowe's was.
Yeah.
But that was good hitting, good situational clutch hitting on the part of the Cardinals. So if you're going to say that the Rangers lost the series, the flip side of that coin is no, the Cardinals did win that series, and they won it by hitting in the clutch.
It's a perspective that is probably equal.
Right.
You can look at it from one of two ways.
And the Rangers go 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position last night. If they hit clutch last night, then maybe we're talking about a whole different thing.
You can look at it from one of two ways, and guess what? Neither one is wrong.
Right.
You're both right. If you want to be angry and say the Rangers choked this thing away, hey, have at it.
There are plenty
of
different...
You are not wrong for having that opinion.
Yes, you can hold up this World Series and look at it from 360 degrees. There are so many different angles to look at this same object, but it's the same object. We both choose to look favorably on our Rangers and not look at them as choke artists, as losers, and give credit to the Cardinals.
Yep.
Give credit to a hell of a team and now the second winningest organization in the history of the major leagues.
And we still have an hour and a half to fully embrace all 360-degree angles of this World Series. We'll continue to do that. We'll continue to take your calls. Please join us. Help us get through this. We need you. 214-787-1310. And I think that's really the only number you need to know. So give us a call, and we'll talk to you next.
It's 1141 on the Never On Time Orphanage. Dave and Danny with you until 1 o'clock today, going an extra hour to commiserate a Rangers World Series loss with you. We're sorry. I mean, I imagine there are people out there that just want to avoid it, pretend it didn't happen.
Well, the casket's lowered. We've got an hour and 20 minutes to put the remaining amounts of dirt on top of it and fill that thing up and cap it off with a nice headstone at 1 o'clock. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
We're here to help you bury and mourn your Texas Rangers season of 2011, which came to an end last night in St. Louis.
6-2.
6-2 loss at the hands of the evil Cardinals.
Now, we talked a little bit last segment about the untimely hitting by the Rangers last night. 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. The one being the Josh Hamilton double in the first.
Yeah, things look great in the first.
Yeah.
We come up to a nice 2-0 lead and then cough it up immediately.
Yeah, in spite of Ian getting picked off, they still scrape out 2 runs in the top of the first and things look really, really good. And as you said, Harrison can't let that stand for a half an inning.
No, he needed the shutdown inning worse than ever. Didn't happen.
And the Rangers really never threatened after the first. The Cardinals coasted to that Game 7 victory.
They nursed it right along and just kept padding the lead. And as much as we wanted to chip away at it and get runners in scoring position, it happened a couple of times. But, man, you were there with me at the Barley House watching that game. There was just a din over the crowd. I mean, there was nothing to get excited about, nothing to cheer for. And then you have... You know, you go to CJ, who immediately comes in. Well, first of all, who was it that walked in a run? It was
Ogando.
Ogando comes in and was it Ogando that walked in a bases loaded run last night?
Yeah.
He did that the night before.
Was it Ogando?
I thought it was Feldman.
Let me go to the...
Yeah, it was Feldman because he threw that borderline pitch. And by the way, this is what I wanted to bring up. Jerry Lynn was effing terrible. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that,
zinging
that word.
Terrible.
He was zinging terrible. One of the worst umpire jobs I've ever seen behind the plate in a World Series. That was just awful. So anyway, as a result of a terrible call by Jerry Lynn, Scooter Feldman walks in... A run with the bases loaded, and then they go to Siege.
Well, and not only that, they walk in a run.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Napoli pickoff at third, right?
Well, that was the night before as well.
What? I'm getting so confused.
Napoli picked off Holiday in the.
I'm going to the play by play
in Game 6.
I'm going to the play-by-play. What inning are we talking about here? The fifth?
Yeah, whatever inning Feldman came in.
Okay, yeah, Feldman. Terrio grounded out to Andrus. Craig walked. Pujols hit by pitch. Berkman grounded out to Young. Craig to third, Pujols to second. Freeze intentionally walked. Molina walked, scoring Craig.
Yep.
Then CJ comes in and hits for call.
Yes, on the first pitch.
Unbelievable.
Settled down a little bit after that, but like we were saying, in any hopes of the Rangers, I mean, it was close at that point. It was 3-2?
Yeah.
When that inning started, and then
it ends up 5-2 after that inning.
Yeah, so any hopes of keeping that thing close and you know, all it takes is a bloop and a blast... Wasn't going to happen.
About my scrambled sports brain.
You're doing fine. It completely got away from him, and it was so quiet. I mean, there was just never anything to cheer for, and it just got worse and worse, and you just knew it was over. And you knew it was over before it was over.
Right. And speaking of how there was nothing to cheer for, and we were hoping against hope for a rally, you mentioned we were watching at the Barley House, as were Corby and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And Corby and Mike threw out a hypothetical, or Corby and I threw out a hypothetical for Mike,
mm-hmm.
that if the Rangers were to come back and win that game, in order to make that happen, if David Beckham, because we got into this conversation because I said that Schumacher is a poor man's David Beckham.
Okay.
That they resemble each other. And then we... came up with the hypothetical that if David Beckham rolls up to the back door of the Barley House in his Escalade with darkened windows and a tarp laid down in the back and does something to Mike's bottom for 1 second, would Mike consent to that for the Rangers to win? And he said he would.
He would?
Yeah.
For 1 second of bottom?
For 1 second.
For the Rangers to win the World Series.
Yes.
I would have taken that.
So
Bring it on, Beckham. Bend it.
Right. So, unfortunately, David Beckham did not show up at the Barley House last night, or the Rangers would have won.
That's terrible. And Mike would no longer be a bottom virgin. All right. Let's take a break, and I promise we will commit the next segment to nothing but phone calls. We will shut up and let you talk. So, John, David, and Craig, stay on the line. We'll get to you in a few minutes.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket reminds you that the secret to a good marriage is a king-size bed. That way there's room for your girlfriend between you and your wife.
So funny. I like comedy. So much comedy. Who writes that stuff? It's brilliant.
It's 11:55 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is The Orphanage. Dave and Danny going an extra hour today until 1 o'clock, then the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD, and then SMU and Tulane. Tulsa, Tomato?
SMU versus tomato. They're going to play a big tomato.
A beefsteak tomato.
A big, big tomato. A hothouse tomato.
Are you looking, Dave?
It doesn't matter.
One person cares. One person out there cares. So we need to tell them.
Krennic knows.
Tulsa.
Tulsa.
See, I was right.
The Tulsa tomatoes.
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea. It's 11:56. You're listening to America's favorite radio station for rhythm, blues, soul, gospel, and news.
The Rangers lose last night 6-2 up in St. Louis. The Cardinals are your 2011 World Series champions, and let's go to your World Series phone calls.
Let's do it. We promised World Series phone calls, and we are going to deliver, and we'll start off with John in Grapevine. Good morning, John.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
Well, how are you, sir?
All right, thanks. Hey, I heard a caller before me, a few callers before me, and then some other people complaining, saying that it wasn't fair that the Rangers didn't get home field advantage this year. Mm-hmm. They're saying the record would have determined it. That's simply not true. Back in the old days, before the All-Star game, it was always rotate AL and NL, and this NL always had odd years. So this year would have been, St. Louis would have had home field advantage regardless. Now, what? Last year, yeah, the Rangers would have had home field advantage. It didn't matter last year.
No, it didn't matter last year, and you're right. I did forget about the alternating home-away venues. I wish they would do it on record, though.
Yeah, why not?
Shouldn't it? I mean, shouldn't you be...
That's the way it is in the NHL and the NBA.
You should be given an advantage for having the best regular season. I mean, that's the only way that it makes sense. This doing it based on the winner of the All-Star game is such a novelty to draw fake interest into a game that people that love the sport are going to watch it anyway. Now it means something. Well, good Lord, let me tune in. I didn't care before, but I do now. Bud Selig's an idiot. David in Haltom City, you're on the ticket.
Hey, what's going on?
Good morning to you.
I think the Rangers blew it 2 times in Game 6 by letting Kobe Lewis bunt with one out and runners on base, where he could reach out and shake hands with Freezer Pujols.
That was a tough one. Yep, I agree. I thought, and I was saying this to the whole time when we were playing in the National League Park, when we were playing in St. Louis, I thought there was entirely too much bunting going on. They did it last night. We tried to do it last night with Elvis. Let the guy hit World Series. Stop overthinking this. Why not let your pitchers take a swing? You know? Why is it automatically they have to bunt every time that they're at the plate, regardless of situation?
No,
were our pitchers allowed to free swing at all unless there were two strikes on them?
I don't know. Maybe Colby just doesn't have confidence.
Colby's a good hitter.
I don't know.
He's probably the best hitter on the staff.
Don't tell that to CJ.
Yeah, that's a good point. It'll hurt his feelings. Hi, Craig.
Hey, boys. Well, your last caller took away a little bit of my hypothetical. To me, it makes no sense to bunt when you got the third baseman and the first baseman sitting on top of you.
Yep.
It's like trying to run the football with 11 guys in the box. So we'll move on, Pat. Well,
unless you can do what, I can't remember who it was, but you remember in Game 6, the play that was made by Elvis when they were running the wheel and you had Beltre coming in and the bunt went over Beltre's head and Elvis had to come in and make that play to first base, which was an outstanding play. Unless you have confidence in yourself to handle the bat enough to get the thing in the air and bunt it over the person.
That was not on purpose.
Yeah, then it becomes a hit.
Right.
But anyway, let's move on. My hypothetical is, and I can't remember if it was Game 6 or not, but our pitcher was up, two out and nobody on, okay, and La Russa didn't put him on base. If I would have been the manager, he's on base. I want to get to the top of the order. We got two out. Now, when you look at the batting averages of the number one and number two hitters, I don't know what they are, but let's say they're 300, which I don't think they are.
What, for Texas or for St. Louis?
No, for Texas.
Yeah, it was 300. I think Kinsler was batting around 310, and Elvis was right around 300.
Okay. if I remember my probability correct, you got two outs. All right, you multiply 0.3 times 0.3. That gives you 0.09. That's a 900. There's only a 90% chance out of a thousand. It'd be 90 out of a thousand, as opposed to 0.09 out of one, that both of them are going to get a hit. And then you've taken away the leadoff batter. Why would you take the pitcher out with nobody on and two out, and then face the top of the order in the next inning?
I'm not sure I understand your point.
To a freshman algebra teacher, that might make sense. Well, I don't follow.
You're saying put the pitcher on?
You put the pitcher on.
You never put the pitcher on.
Yeah, you put him on because you got two out and nobody else on base. Okay, he's an automatic out. What you want to do, you got two out, you get into the start of the lineup, you got... If the first hitter gets a hit,
that's way overthinking.
No, I'm not. I think it's basic money ball is what I think.
Are you saying walk the pitcher to face the number one and two hitters with two outs?
Now let me finish. You put the pitcher on. If your number one and number two batter you're going to face are batting 300, which is really .3. Okay, it's really .3. It's not 300. It's
all right. This is the most ridiculous point I've ever heard.
I'm sorry, Craig. I like it when you call in, but I'm not smart enough. Okay, I'm going to give you credit. I am not intelligent enough to handle that phone.
But I don't think TLR would ever even do something that insane.
If somebody did that, if Wash walked
the pitcher to get to the top of the order,
Nolan would walk to the dugout and fire him. On the spot in the World Series, if he walked a pitcher with two outs,
bases empty,
to face for call, why would you ever do that?
I don't. I mean, Craig, I'm sure you have some
crazy formula,
some well thought out reason. You obviously put pen to paper, but I don't think anyone in baseball would agree with that.
Yeah, I need a nap right now.
I need a good call.
I like it when Craig calls. I couldn't follow that. I'm really sorry. Let's talk to Corey. Hi, hey, Corey. How are you, sir? Good. How are you?
I'm bad. The old home field advantage used to be alternating. I mean, I don't know if the All-Star game really makes a difference. Rangers won game two, so they've got the home field coming home, you know, with three games, and they give up a historic night to Pujols. So I just wanted to say that I don't know that necessarily that home field has as much to do with it as it does the players and the management of the game.
Well, I'm talking about home field meaning not so much that, hey, I'm in my own park, so we got the crowd behind us, so we're going to win. I'm talking about the fact that they had to play one more game in an NL park and have to play, you know, that style of baseball, which I think it hurt them more than it helped them.
We did forget about the alternating.
Yeah, we did.
Prior to the All-Star game.
And I'm saying if baseball wanted to make this right, then they would do it like all the other sports and have the team with the best record have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, including the championship. Unless you want to do it at a neutral site like the Super Bowl, and that's just stupid. Why would you ever do that? So doesn't it make sense that the team with the best record should?
Yeah, if it's not a one game event like a football game, it can't be at a neutral site. That is stupid. So yes, it should be based on record. You should be rewarded for being the team with the best record standing.
All right, couple more real quick. Barry, hi, you're on the ticket.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
Good, sir.
Hey, you know this home field advantage thing? Hey, if they're going to implement this inter-league thing, that's another thing that really creeps my craw. But who's the person that's got the best record in the World Series? How did they do against interleague?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they should do it, not with the All-Star game. If the Rangers had a better record against the National League in the interleague play, then they should get the home field advantage. But as long as they're going to implement this interleague play, then let it work for the World Series. Otherwise, it's stop interleague.
Yeah, I'm.
I think everybody's tired of interleague.
I'm so sick of it. It was cute for a couple of years, and that's the funny thing. And I'm being somewhat contradictory right now because I'm, you know, bitching that the Rangers had to play an extra game in St. Louis, and I thought that it their style of baseball did not match up well with National League ball, but although they do dominate the NL in interleague play pretty much every year, so they just ran into a hot team that was hot at the right time.
Yep.
That's the only thing that I can attribute this to. One more. Tony, hi, you're on the ticket.
Good morning, Jen.
Hello, sir.
Well, I hope John and Plano's getting enough Ranger talk instead of other products on your station.
Yes. products.
Well, here's my year in summary. You tell me how I'm doing.
Go ahead.
You're doing great so far.
Mavs win first title.
Do you have a mathematical problem that we need to calculate at some point in this phone call?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So Mavs win first title, Rangers blow second, and I get divorced. Am I ahead?
Are you ahead?
Are you winning?
That's what I'm saying. Am I ahead in this?
Okay, so...
Do you have the other two out?
Well, Mavs win. That's a positive. Rangers lose twice.
But not the same year, just this year. Look.
Okay, and you get divorced?
Yes.
I think
Are you doing the divorcing, or are you being divorced?
It's mutual.
It's mutual?
Well, it's never mutual.
The year and a half social experiment.
Okay.
I think you're breaking even right now, then.
You're either breaking even, or it's a photo finish with you winning.
Yeah, I'm going to say by no, especially since I'm still in my mid-30s.
Right.
Okay,
yeah, if you rebound with a hot 20-something, then you will, in the photo finish, you will win by the tip.
Just the tip.
She's going to be tough to beat, but I live the mantra of a famous man that once said, no matter how hot somebody is, somebody out there is tired of putting up with her.
And you are now that man.
Yes, right. You certainly
all right,
are.
Boys. Well, love you, and let's get geared up for 112 days of pitchers and catchers.
Thank you, Tony. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. We're not going to leave you stranded, Bobby and Glenn. We'll get to you probably in the next segment. Really, that's all I have.
Yeah, I do want to get to Bobby and Glenn and whoever else wants to continue to sound off on the Rangers post-game show.
It's pretty much your last chance until Monday. Unless, I mean, do people listen to the radio on Sunday mornings?
Yeah, I guess the
people,
the snorkel, they're going to take calls, right?
Who?
What is that?
The soul patch?
Yeah.
Oh.
The soul patch.
The snorkel? Yeah, so people that don't go to church and hate Jesus, they can call into the soul patch tomorrow.
But, yeah, we'll take calls next, but I also want to... I want to just cast an eye towards 2012. I want to look ahead to what the Rangers have built and what their prospects could be next on the ticket.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS Mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth. Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket salutes the Texas Rangers on another great season, another AL pennant and World Series appearance, but at the end, another kick in the baseballs.
Oh. And right now on our guest line, we are joined by one-third of Bad Radio, our good friend Donovan Lewis.
I'm dealing with my hurt feelings right now. The girl that I love just walked out on me,
yep.
And I am hurt. I think we ran into the same situation we did last year.
Yep.
Damn it, team of destiny. You can't fight past that. You just can't.
There's Dan Paul, the producer of the Hardline.
Yeah, Rangers lose game 7. We're getting tired of saying that's the way baseball go, but that's the way baseball go. At least it was a great World Series. Our guys will have HSOs and our red-shoed Ranger team all off-season long. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Majestic Fine Wine and Spirits, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and the station that doesn't believe there's no crying in baseball. Because there is. Jeez. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Heard also on 99.5 HD.
Go ahead, admit it. You wish we'd all get laryngitis. Yeah, I understand. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It's 12:17 on The Ticket. My name is David, and my partner's name is Daniel. And we are here until noon, or not noon, until 1 today. We're usually here until noon. We're the orphanage, and we're talking about a very sad sad event in Metroplex sports history. The Rangers lose back-to-back World Series. They become the third team in Major League history since the division series began, since divisional play began. They're the third team to lose back-to-back World Series, joining the Braves and the Yankees.
Pretty good company.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk, we'll get back to the phones here in just a second, but I want to talk about the Rangers moving forward.
Yes.
And
we've discussed already that a decision, much like the Beltre decision last year, needs to be made at first base.
Yes.
That goes without saying.
God bless Mitch Moreland. I don't think that he is...
He didn't do enough in 2011 to capitalize or to expand on what we saw in the playoffs in 2010.
Yeah, he's certainly a usable part.
No doubt.
Definitely want him around, but as your answer at first base, I don't think he's it.
Right.
So, yes, they do need to try and get into the fielder and or Pujols sweepstakes if Pujols decides to test free agency.
Right. What else?
And you talked about the need for a frontline starter. I heard David Newberry talk about going after Oswalt.
Oswalt, Greinke, I believe, and CeCe.
Yeah, odds are CeCe is going to re-sign with the Yankees, and he's not even going to hit the open market. At least that's the word on the street.
People talk about CJ. What do you do with CJ? Do you let him go? I think you make him a very solid offer.
I think you try and keep him, and if somebody wants to pay him stupid money, then let him go.
Yeah, I wouldn't give CJ stupid money, but I would not let money be a huge factor in keeping him or letting him go. The Rangers can afford to do this now.
Yeah. If you can keep him, you should
absolutely
keep him.
If he wants to be here, if CJ wants to be a Texas Ranger, there should be no reason for him not to be.
And if the Yankees are going to pay out the arse for CeCe, are they going to have enough left to pay out for CJ?
Right.
I don't know.
But having said that, I want cake, and I want to put it in my mouth. CJ is the cake, but I want to eat it. And by eating it, I need an ace. This staff needs an ace. No one has stepped up and proven to me in 2011 that they're that guy.
Yes.
And I'm not going to give it to Holland based on one wonderful World Series output.
You definitely have a nice stable of arms, but they're all interchangeable.
Yes, they're all two. You got a wonderful, wonderful array of twos and threes.
Yes. CJ and Colby and Holland.
Yep.
And perhaps Harrison.
Perhaps Ogando.
Perhaps
Feldman.
Yeah, you've got a wealth of possibilities for the back half of your rotation. Mm-hmm. But you do need an ace. You do need somebody that can let CJ slide comfortably into the number two role.
Now, having said that, I don't know if they're going to be able to get one on the open market. What may need to happen is for them to roll with what they have, re-sign CJ, and roll with what they have this year
in 2012,
and do a deadline deal. Because you can even give up arms to get an arm because of the wealth of pitching that you do have right now. But that I fear that's probably the way they're going to go. And is Greinke a number one guy? Yeah, I'd say he's pretty good. He'd be the ace on this staff, probably.
Right. Is Oswalt?
That's a name. And Newberry seems convinced that they're going to go out and make a big play
for him. I was surprised that the Phillies let him go. And if the Phillies let him go, what does that say?
Yeah, no, I know. He's not the one from that staff that scared me the most.
Right.
He was the one where I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever.
At this point in his career, you think he's any better than CJ?
I really don't. I don't think he's a front of rotation guy.
But right. if you can buy low,
yeah,
I think he's another nice piece to throw into that equation.
Yeah, I truly believe you need a horse. You need a stud that is your number one guy.
They're a rare breed.
They are a rare breed, but the Rangers can afford to not only pay them, they can afford to trade for them. And they have the organization strong enough to be able to do that. Now, you don't want to weaken your organization by doing too much and overpaying and overtrading, but I don't think Nolan and John are going to make those types of deals.
Right. Now, looking ahead, and we talked about will they have the lasting reputation of the Bills or the Vikings, to use the football analogy of teams that got to the championship game but never won.
Mm-hmm.
Will they be the Utah Jazz? Will they be the Braves, who had a tremendous run, got one but should have gotten more? You know, there is certainly a long history left to be written for this edition of the Texas Rangers. I know kids don't do this anymore, but I used to just pore over the Sports Almanac, and I used to love going back and looking at the Super Bowl and World Series year by year, you know, just the list of the games and the champions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want in 20 years for the Rangers to be just a blip on the radar, lost in 2010 and 2011, and then they never show back up on the list.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to be the case because of the way this organization is set up. If you look at it, the payroll is going to go nothing but up. They've got the new TV deal money coming in.
Right. They've got all, I mean, you got 2 years of massive amounts of income from playoffs and playoff baseball.
Yeah.
You know, the tickets out there, I went. I know what I paid. I couldn't afford it. It was stupid, but I wanted to be there.
You got that A-Rod money going away.
Yep.
You've got a wonderful triumvirate in Wash, JD, and Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Your scouting department is great. Your farm system is great.
You got to keep Maddox.
Yes. You definitely need to, because he is the guy who is milking every bit out of this pitching staff and making them as good as they have been.
Yes.
You are in one of the weakest divisions in baseball, a four-team division.
Which may change this year.
It could change.
Is it this year or next year?
I don't know.
That they're going to bring the Astros to the American
League. Well, they got to get sold first, so it may not happen until 2013.
Okay, for now.
But yeah, you are in one of the most winnable divisions in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have a good shot of going to the postseason every year. So I think that you've got enough young talent. You've got enough guys that are still on the upside of their careers that they should be contenders for the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, that's another thing that you have to hope for is that these guys are young enough that your talent is continuing. The development of their talent is a continuous thing.
Right.
That next year, you know, maybe CJ's a 19-game winner if you can re-sign him. That Derek Holland emerges as the stud that we've been talking about that this team so desperately needs.
Elvis cuts down on his errors. Hits for a little bit higher average.
Exactly, higher average. These guys are very young. You know, we forget that Elvis is, what, 23? 22, 23. Neffy's 23. I mean, they're kids.
And we talked about the possibility of using Young in the outfield. But you've got a stacked outfield right now. Mm-hmm. With Hamilton, Cruz, and the possibility of using Murphy or Gentry. But then you also have the possibility of Leonis Martin making the big club next year.
That is true. That is true. It's deep. It's young. And it's, and granted, they're not entirely growing their own talent. Due to a wealth of very clever and creative and favorable trades, you know, they've been able to amass this amount of talent, and you do hope that they're continuing to cultivate and get better and better and improve. I don't think Derek Holland has peaked as he's not, he hasn't hit his peak as a pitcher. Those days are to come. They're,
right.
They're down the road.
Does Napoli become your everyday catcher, or do you not want him to wear down? That's a question you have moving forward.
He's
established himself as a world-class catcher.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, has he ever been a catcher that has caught 100 and what's good for a catcher? 120 games?
I would think.
Something like that? What's a lot for a catcher, I guess? 120, 130 games. Has he ever been a catcher that's played that many games behind the plate? I don't know.
No.
So we don't know. We don't know what you have in Napoli as far as will he wear down? Does he have the body type that will be able to sustain a full season, you know, carrying the bulk of the load behind the plate? I don't know.
But if you do commit to Young as your full-time DH and you go out and get a frontline first baseman, mm-hmm. then you're going to need to play Napoli more at catcher.
True. Absolutely. I don't want Napoli at first base.
No.
Only in rare, you know, occasions where he's got to give somebody a bit of rest. I don't want Napoli or Young at first base. They're not good first basemen.
There's a reason.
Yes.
That they don't play there all the time.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot to do. Maybe not a ton, but there's some things, there's some tweaks that need to be made. And
I have full trust in this front office.
Absolutely. I trust their vision. I trust their ability to see talent that might otherwise be overlooked or taken for granted, see Mike Napoli. I have no problem with them giving big money to Adrian Beltre. That was a massive upgrade for our defense.
And we have him for, what, 4 more years?
Yep.
And you everybody talks about the Napoli trade, and they talk about how he was traded twice in the offseason and traded twice within a week or twice within 4 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was fully orchestrated by JD.
Completely.
The Angels did not want to trade him to their division rival. So JD orchestrated the trade to Toronto.
Yes.
And then got him from Toronto. It was not an accident. It was not, oh my God, he was traded twice in a week. How did that happen? JD made that happen.
That's why the Angels were pissed at Toronto for doing that.
Right.
Because they did it behind their back. Period. All right, we've essentially got one more fat segment left in us, and I promise we will take phone calls in that one because I'm running out of steam. I got very little left. I don't see how people do this every day. But Bobby, Jason, and Justin, we'll get to your phone calls next, and Davey will do the segment in the nude.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket salutes the Texas Rangers on another great season, another AL pennant, and World Series appearance. But at the end, another kick in the baseballs.
Oh. We just didn't get it done. We got beat by a good club.
They just didn't have enough. They just did not have enough tonight.
You know, St. Louis didn't necessarily hit the ball very well, but they still scored 6 runs.
That's how it works, man. Two teams pour it out on the field, and one team leaves with a trophy.
Yeah, Rangers lose Game 7. We're getting tired of saying that's the way baseball go, but that's the way baseball go. At least it was a great World Series. Our guys will have HSOs and our Red Shoot Ranger team all off-season long. Brought to you by Jay Gilligan's, Big Daddy's Liquor Stores, DriverSelect.com, Southwest Airlines, and the station that doesn't believe there's no crying in baseball. Because there is. Jeez. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Crude also on 99.5.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You might be a ticket fan if you've told a former girlfriend, I still miss you, baby, but my aim's getting better.
It's 12:37. This is The Orphanage. Dave and Danny with you for another 25 minutes or so, and then the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD. It's been all Rangers today.
As it should be.
On the one hand, you could say we're beating a dead horse, but on the other hand, how often are you in a World Series, much less a World Series Game 7? And even though it didn't work out the way we all wanted it to, it's historic and we've got to talk about it. We've got to work through it together.
Yeah, you have to. And I know that a lot of people are really pissed off at the way this went down, that we had it. We had the World Series in our grasp numerous times in Game 6, and somehow it escaped us. We let it go. They took it from us. You decide on which way you want to believe, and like we said before, whatever you choose, you're not going to be faulted for it, because there's elements of truth to each side. But I do want to say this. I feel, as a fan of baseball, being my favorite sport, not even close, that I feel fortunate that I get to live in a city that has a major league team, that I have a job that affords me that I can maybe go to a few games, you know? Mm-hmm. And if it's affordable enough of a sport that I can go see my favorite team play several times a year. And the fact that this team is so strong organizationally, from top to bottom, and that they went to the World Series twice in 12 months, and we got to be a part of it. We got to make impulse buys and buy $70 hoodies that we have no business purchasing because we can't afford it, but you put it on the credit card anyway. You follow this team. You have the guys on. We're lucky enough to get these guys on the air and talk to them. They were in a damn World Series for the second time in a row, and I know it didn't work out, and I'm upset about it, but this is super gay, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can stand here today, and I'm bloody proud to be a fan of this team, because a lot of fans of baseball, they don't get to do what we've got to do.
No,
we're really, really lucky. And that's the perspective that I want to take.
Right. And
that may shift. It may change, and I may, you know, take another hard look at this thing a couple of months down the road, and I might start getting mad. But right now, it's not the route that I'm choosing to go with this. I'm a ding-dong proud Ranger fan today.
Well, and if we're going to look at silver linings, I think that the Rangers, even though they've lost back-to-back World Series, they have gained a mountain of respect around the league.
Yes.
People look at them in a different way, and they will never look at them the same way as they did before.
Right.
And we as Ranger fans witnessed one of the classic World Series of all time. This is going to be a World Series that people are going to reference from now on.
I put this one right up there with, I believe it was the Yankees-Diamondbacks series in 2001. If this is as good, or it may be even better.
So, it would have been better to have won it, but you were part of history, and this is a World Series that captured the attention of baseball fans all across the country, and a lot of people were rooting for the Rangers, who had no rooting interest before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gained themselves a lot of fans, and it is something to be proud of.
They're not a joke anymore. They're not your father's Rangers anymore, and that's a good thing. All right, let's roll through these calls real quick. Bobby, you are on the air, sir.
Orphanage.
Hello.
I hope you guys kept your clothes on.
Yes.
Yes, no one wants to see me naked or hear me naked.
Listen, I'm not a baseball guru like you guys, so I need your help with this one.
Please.
I've got an observation and then a question for you. But the observation, obviously Fox felt stirred enough to put a stat up on the screen for us, but I've been screaming this since Tampa Bay and definitely in the Detroit series and most evidently in Game 3, 5, and 6 of the World Series. But the number of leadoff batters that we walk and getting behind in counts and the numbers of batters we walk, it seems to be exorbitant.
Yes.
Does that responsibility fall on Maddux at all?
Man, I think it's like something we mentioned earlier. When you start walking people, especially when you don't want to, that is a lack of command. And I think a lot of these guys were tired. I think a lot of these guys, like CJ and maybe Derek, Matt Harrison, even guys that have not been doing this that long, when I'm talking about being starting pitchers in the big leagues and throwing 200-plus innings, they're just not used to it, and it's going to take time, like I said earlier, to kind of build, you know, you build that callus up to where that's the norm for you. That's the normal way you grow accustomed to pitching.
And I don't think you can discount the stage and the pressure.
Yeah.
Because this starting rotation, their success in the regular season was built on first pitch strikes.
Yes. Now you look at the we talk about a lot of the parallels to the Mavs. The thing that we have to keep in mind is this is probably more a parallel to the 2006 Mavericks, not the 2011 Mavericks, because truly, how many seasoned hardened veterans do you have on this Ranger team? Michael Young and maybe
Josh?
Not even really. Josh has really, truly been at this since he's come to the Rangers, like back at it.
Right, right.
I take away his early career and then his dark period. I just kind of disregard all that. To me, Josh is a third year player. To me, he is third or fourth year player. They didn't have one guy on this team that had ever won a World Series. The Mavericks. You're talking about a team of veterans that chose to buy into a system and learn how to play together and be the consummate, ultimate veteran team.
Yeah, I mean, none of them had won before, but yes, they had the benefit of experience behind them.
That's what the Rangers are building now. This team is very young, and it's pretty incredible that a team that young has been able to do what they've done the last couple of years. So as this thing seasons, as it improves, as it gains more experience, I don't think this is the last time you're going to see them in the World Series.
No, hopefully it doesn't take 5 years for them to get back. You know, you certainly can't expect them to make it back next year, but I do think that we'll be talking about a Rangers World Series title sooner rather than later.
Let's talk to Jason. Hi, you're on the ticket, Jason.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm one of them 40-year Ranger fans, and I have no gut left. It's been ripped out.
Right.
And after game six. And yesterday when I was watching that game, it was just like nonchalant.
You knew it was coming, right?
We were in denial, but yeah. You could see it coming.
I watched it, and I said, you know what?
Maybe a miracle can happen, but probably not. That's what it's going to take to win this. I'm right there with you.
Game six was their chance, and they screwed it up. Twice they had the chance. Mm-hmm. And you had the players there, especially in the ninth inning with Neftali there. And that's where Walsh wanted, you know, Neftali to close it down, and he didn't do it. And so that was the team, Neftali Police, closing it out. But anyway, my main thing that I was wanting to talk about was this first base thing. Who is the best fit for this team next year? Because they got all that money coming from TV revenue and all that. people want to say, you know, Prince Fielder, but I'm not sold on Prince Fielder. What would Pujols be like in this lineup, stuck there in the middle?
Pujols would be awesome in anybody's lineup. Yeah. He's the best hitter in baseball.
I think the...
If I had to choose between, okay, you can have Albert Pujols or Prince Fielder at first base, it's a no-brainer. I like Prince Fielder. I'd love to have him hitting in 81 games with that home run porch out there. That'd be fun. He's not as good of a defensive player.
You can have Scarlett Johansson or Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, take your pick. But yeah, I'd take Pujols, and he would fit nicely into this lineup.
I think just because of age and personality, I think that Fielder might be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
But
and he's going to be a little cheaper.
But you, yeah,
probably a lot cheaper.
But if the Rangers could get either one of them, I would be doing cartwheels.
Yep, no doubt. A couple more real quick. Justin, you've been holding. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, hey, boys. I just wanted to say, I know this may not help or whatever, but, you know, the Rangers were one strike away, as we know, twice winning the World Series. And surely that's the only time that's ever happened in the history of the World Series, right?
There's no question.
Well, actually, that's not true. I went back and looked it up, and in 1986, Game 6, bottom of the 10th.
Bottom.
Red Sox were, you know, up 5-3 going into that inning. They got the first two outs,
mm-hmm.
so they're one out away. Then two straight singles, and then the third guy had an 0-2 count. So at that point, it was Ray Knight. At that point, they're one strike away from winning the World Series. He gets a hit. Then the next batter, Mookie Wilson, they get a 2-2 count on him.
And that's the one that goes under Buckner's legs.
Right, but they got a 2-2 count on him,
mm-hmm.
and then they threw a but they were still up 5-4, and then during that, after the 2-2 count, they threw a wild pitch to tie the game, and then Buckner's play was after it was tied, but basically, the Red Sox were one strike away from winning that World Series on two different batters and didn't get it done, so I don't know if that helps anybody or not, but this isn't the first time that's ever happened, and I was certain that it was.
Yeah, I guess what makes it more crushing is that you gave up two-run leads and that the two times you were one strike away were an inning apart.
Especially after the Herculean effort by Hamilton to just reach down and give it everything he had to muscle that ball out to center field.
Right.
To say, look, I got this, guys. I know, hey, Neffy, it's cool. You gave it up, but I got it. We're going to get it back now. And they still couldn't close it out.
No,
that was the saddest part of the whole night for me.
Yeah.
Because that was the story.
No Ranger fan who watched this World Series, nobody listening right now, you had no doubt in your mind after Hamilton hit that home run that the Rangers were going to win.
We're not screwing this up again.
The Rangers were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
There was no possibility that any other outcome would happen, but it did.
It's bitter, man. There's nothing sweet about this at all. This is bitterness. It's sad, but as is life sometimes. Real quick, Jeff in Cleveland, you're on the ticket.
Hey, man, you know, I've been a Cleveland Indians fan for 20, 30 years. I'm from Cleveland, and I grew up with the Indians. I had two losses with the Indians in the World Series, but you know what? The Rangers, they've got me as a fan forever because, listen, let's talk about the good stuff. There's a good nucleus for the Rangers. You know, there's going to be good times ahead. I've been waiting for, Mesa hurt us when he came in and relieved and messed the game up against Florida. And I've been having to live with that. I've been having to live with the drives. And, of course, I'm going to live with this game six with the Rangers. But you know what? They've gotten me as a fan for them, and I'm going to be a fan for life for the Rangers because, you know what, I really like the team, and they got a good nucleus, and everything's going to be okay.
I hope you're right, Jeff.
Those 90s Indians are a good parallel.
Yeah, they kind of are.
You know, will they get over the hump like the Braves, or will they be the Indians?
Well, Dave, that's yet to be determined.
I know.
And I hate that it's over, man. I hate that baseball season is over. I hate the way it ended. But like I said before, I'm proud of these guys, and I'm proud to be a Ranger fan. And this was a hell of a lot of fun. Thursday night was really tough. It was the toughest sports moment of my life.
It was electric, though. I mean, that was like Game 6 against the Heat and Game 6 against the Buffalo Sabres all rolled into one.
Yep. It was tough. But we'll get them next year. Right?
God willing.
You
know, why don't you listen to this audio next? Because we've got to kill a few minutes before we press play on the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD.
Quack.
And our attention was called to a quote from Joshy, and it kind of goes back to the conversation we were having about do we give the Rangers too much slack. And we'll talk about that and listen to some audio from the postgame last night next.
So your mama doesn't like Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Well, your mama's so fat, when she goes to a restaurant, she doesn't get a menu. She gets an estimate.
It's 1 o'clock on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Mark.
Davey and Danny, the orphanage, winding down our Rangers post game show. A disappointing loss last night, but I feel like this has been cathartic and we've all tried to move forward together today. We're on for just a couple more minutes, and in 10 minutes you can listen to the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD in its entirety.
Awesome.
We talked a little bit earlier, and a caller brought up the point that if the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl and blew five leads and ultimately lost in a last-second fashion, that we would all be torching them and that they would never live it down. Yet the Rangers, in the historic way that they lost Game 6, they're not getting the same bile from the fans. And our point is that, you know, they're our lovable little Rangers. They're the underdog, whereas the Cowboys are the front runner. They're expected to win. And there was a quote from Josh that Michael will play for us, where he kind of maybe he gives it the Tony Romo treatment. Tony Romo's famous, if this is the worst thing that ever happens to me, I've had a pretty good life after the Cowboys lost to the Eagles a few years ago. See if this is similar. I don't know that
it
is.
Haven't heard it yet, so.
So let's see if Josh crosses that line.
Kind of sucks in a way, but I'm not disappointed. You know, not frustrated, not mad at God. I'm just excited to have been a part of another World Series in 2 years. Yeah, it's pretty special.
I'm not mad at God? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is weird. Yeah,
play it one more time. I'm sorry.
Kind of sucks in a way, but I'm not disappointed. You know, not frustrated, not mad at God. I'm just excited to have been a part of another World Series in 2 years. Yeah, it's pretty special.
I don't believe him. I think he is disappointed, and it doesn't suck in a way. It sucks, period.
That's gross.
But look. That's what he needs to get him through his life. And that's cool. A lot of people do.
Yeah, I would not put that in the same stratosphere with Tony's comments.
No,
not Tony's comments were glib.
This is him towing the line of what keeps him focused, what keeps him from going to Maloney's and breaking out the ready whip on co-eds. That's what keeps him grounded.
Yeah, he's got to stay even keeled.
Yes.
He can't let himself get carried away emotionally.
No. And I have no problem with him.
And I'm with you. I don't believe him. I think he is crushed
absolutely.
By this.
He's a human being. If I'm crushed and I wasn't out there on the field, you know, with my groin about to fall out of my butt, you know, smashing home runs, overcompensating for the fact that our closer had a terrible outing on Thursday. No, I'm crushed if I'm him. And it does suck.
And going back to the short leash thing, or the long leash thing, I guess, Neffy doesn't talk to the media. No one says anything about that. Yet Pujols didn't talk to the media. Mm-hmm. And that was a national story.
Well, Pujols has a little bit more star power than Neftali Feliz, so he's going to garner more attention.
But I'm just saying, like that. Same thing, ducking the media after a poor performance.
Yeah.
But well, I think they deserve slack. They went to back-to-back World Series. Historic.
I think the media probably understands Neffy's situation. He lost the World Series, essentially. He did not do his job. He did not do the job that he was expected to do, that he is paid to do, that he has shown that he can do by having a two-run lead in the ninth inning with the World Series right there, and he couldn't get the job done. You know what? I probably don't want to talk to him either, especially when half of what I say is going to get lost in translation because of the language barrier.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, it sucks. This is still, look, we tried to talk you through it. We tried to talk ourselves through it. But the bottom line is this is painful. It's going to hurt for a while. But try to remain positive in some way.
We've come full circle. We're upset again.
Yep.
We thought we talked our way through it, but now we're back where we started.
I'm always sad when baseball season ends, but good God for it to end this way. It is a colossal robot kick right to the gonads. And it's going to take some time.
I'm going to have to watch Real Steel to get myself pumped up.
I'm going to have to walk out of Real Steel to get myself pumped up. Because you and I will walk out of the film.
Yes, we will.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining us today on the phones and listening to us and commiserating with us through your audio music headphones and your car stereos and whatever else you're checking us out on. But maybe it'll be better next week. I know that you will be back here next week with a special orphanage edition from Classic BMW. I will not be here. I'll be out of town. It's still yet to be determined who will be co-hosting with you, correct?
Yes, email me if you want to co-host next week.
All right, dave_lane@hotmail.com. It's 106 on Sports Radio, 1310 The Ticket. We're The Orphanage. Peace out.
That's all, bitches.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth.